Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it is July 26, 2023. How are you doing today? And I hope wherever you are, if you're in that terrible heat, I hope that you're doing okay with that. I know we're all spreading to the Midwest, et cetera, so I hope you're feeling a little bit better these days. Stay cool, stay hydrated, and come to Maine, where it's absolutely beautiful, which is where I am. And we're going to talk to Jay Schroeder today in Oregon. I think he's in Oregon. That's where he lives, all the way across the country from me. He is the author of a new book, just came out from Routledge. It's called Teach From Your Best Self, A Teacher's Guide to Thriving in the Classroom. And he has been thriving in the classroom for over a quarter of a century, I believe, and he's done well with it. And he's got some great ideas for you, which are especially important in this day and age, whenever it's so many teachers thinking of leaving the profession. There's a lot of frustration out there, a lot of politicalization. I don't have to tell you what's going on. So I thought it was real important to bring Jay on and have him talk about his book. And also, he does professional development throughout the country from his Teach From Your Best Self Institute. And he can talk about that as well. Okay, and you'll be able to get in touch with him. I have it all linked up here on site. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That, as you probably know, is the home website of our Consortium for Equity in Education. Go over there. You'll see our magazine. All the podcasts are there. Our Excellence in Equity Awards are there. Everything's over there. So check it out. Everything's free for you, so please go over. It's really good. We work hard to keep that up to date, even in the summertime. So check it all out. And by the way, if you want to talk to me, my email is larry@ace-ed.org. And just feel free to get in touch with any ideas or comments or whatever you wish. And without further ado, ado meaning me blabbing, let me bring Jay Schroeder on. Good morning, Jay. It's Larry here, from, I think, across the country from you.
Hey, good morning, Larry. It's certainly a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me onto the show.
Well, my pleasure, believe me. Indeed. Are you in Oregon today?
Yeah, I'm in southern Oregon, and it's a beautiful, sunny, clear morning. So,
yeah, that's great. Same here.
Got my window open.
Same here.
Letting some breeze in.
Yeah, have you ever been to Maine?
You know, I haven't, but it's on my bucket list. I'd love to come to Maine.
Get here before the bucket. Get here before you kick that bucket. Okay, it's a pretty good place. We got great weather here, too, today. So the both ends of the country up top are doing just great. Okay, and I hope everybody, like I said, I hope everybody in the starting heat wave manages to be all right. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of schools are starting next week. Okay, I was talking to a North Carolina educator the other day, and they're starting next week. And she said to me, you know, at one point, I it's hard for me to go back to school. It's getting harder every year, you know. And, and she said things are changing. Yeah, I think you know the story. I don't have to tell you. So is that a dog? Is that a dog? Was that a dog just then?
I'm sorry. Jay? No, don't have a dog. No.
Oh, I thought I heard a bark back there. I wanted you to know that dogs are always welcome here on Education Talk Radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have any dogs.
Okay, I thought I heard a dog barking in the background. I apologize for that. So anyway, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Okay, what brought you to write this book, your institute, et cetera? It's a broad topic, but, you know, the book is out now. Okay, it just came out this month. Talk about it. What do you want to accomplish with all this?
Yeah, you know, I saw it, and this is just finished my 24th year in education, and I was watching people retire, and it was as if they weren't even there. So you have all of this experience that they've accumulated and all everything that they've learned, and then the system would just replace them without any kind of no real way to pass on. And I thought, oh my gosh, I want to give something back to the system, to education, to the teachers who, as far as I'm concerned, Larry, teachers are heroes. They're the heroes in our society right now, doing the most important and sacred work that I think we have to do, and they're doing it under extremely difficult conditions. And I also love students, and I think that teachers really want to bring their best to the students. They really want to do a fantastic job, and so anything I can do to help them, I'm in. And I've developed some approaches that had really helped me. I actually had to develop them because when I came into the profession, I came in with a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome, and any amount of stress would just flatten me.
Wow.
So I had to figure out a way to lower my stress levels so that I could recover and at the same time stay in the profession, because I was, you know, I was committed to doing this for the long haul. I had some advantages. I had a very wise mentor who has sort of helped me along. He's not an educator, but he comes at things from a different perspective that's allowed me open my mind about what's possible. And then a karate book.
I can't remember. Say his name. I can't remember. I've read that, but I can't remember his name.
His name is Paul Richards.
Right.
You know, you could look him up online if you wanted to learn more about what he's about. And then a karate path, which I've been doing for over 20 years now. And putting all that together, I was able to come up with some just neat approaches that I wanted to share. So.
I'm glad you are sharing it, because there's no time more important, I don't think, in the history of the educational professions, okay, than right now with what's going on. And I'll say it again, the politicalization. You mentioned the word fatigue.
Yeah.
There is chronic fatigue out there. I don't mean necessarily the syndrome, just chronic fatigue at being beat up all the time. All right.
Yeah.
And there's another problem, is that a lot of people aren't getting into education. Now, you said that at the beginning, you said that the teachers would leave, but someone would take their place. There's fewer and fewer qualified people to take their place.
Right.
So it's extremely important that the teachers, and especially good teachers, stay there. But they're not going to do it with a bad mindset. It's that simple. And I want you to go over a little bit, because I read some of your book, but I did enjoy what I read. And I got to tell you, part one talks about how you got into education. You traveled, you know, through Central America and South America and all that sort of thing. You were a kid. You came back and you decided not to be a college professor, but you rather decided to be a K-12 teacher. All right. And then you went in there. But I read something that struck me. I remember it from a few years ago. When I was a teacher, I just remembered that the faculty room, everybody was kind of complaining all the time. All right, it was just like that, okay? And, you know, talking about the kids. And sometimes it's a lot positive, but also some negative stuff. All right, and it tends to be endemic once that kind of thing happens. And, you know, I just thought it was where I was teaching. Okay, then years later, after I retired from business, I did some substitute teaching in the town I was living in New Hampshire. For fun, I knew most of the teachers, et cetera, and I figured they could use a substitute. So I went in there, and I went to have lunch in the faculty room, all right? And I'll never forget this. This is 25 years after I stopped teaching. It was like I had never left the faculty room in Pennsylvania. Here I am in New Hampshire. And they're complaining about the same things. The amazing part being, I'm just a substitute teacher. I'm a member of the community, and here they are complaining the same thing. And they were having trouble doing what they do. All right, it was obvious.
Yeah,
and you know this. It's just the way, and that's why I thought your book, you got to keep yourself as a teacher in good shape, and you got that's not physically, of course, important, but mentally important. It's hard. You're dealing with kids all day, and you're dealing with administrators all day. It's hard out there, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to say this the right way. I think your Teach From Your Best Self Institute, did that come before the book? I believe it did, right?
You know, I started planning it before the book, for sure, because that was my vision for it, was teacher training, teacher professional development. But then the pandemic hit. And so, you know, in like the pit of lockdown, Larry, August of 2020, I actually was wondering, would we ever have teachers gathering together again to do professional development? It actually seemed like I didn't know. So that's when I got this inspiration to write the book. And I started it in August of 2020. I led the first actual training of Teaching Your Best Self in June of 2021. And then the book was picked up by Rutledge, because I had a draft by then, in July of 2020. Boy, I guess it's been a year, so 2022. So, yeah.
No, it's 2023.
And now it's out. Yeah.
So there you go. And the book is out. It's August 20. Yeah, August 2023. Right, it is August 22. I thought you were 2024. Give me a break. Okay, it's that time of the day. Look at my time. You know, my year's wrong, everybody. I don't know why I was thinking that. It was just ridiculous. Okay, so yeah, this is very, very interesting. When you went, I want to ask you this. When you went in and talked to those teachers, okay, in 2021, what was that like, teach from your best self? What was that experience like for you?
That was a moving experience for me, because I thought I had something good. But, I hadn't run it by anybody. You know, there was a few people that believed in me and were supporting it. I wrote a grant with a wonderful colleague of mine at Southern Oregon University, and she and I wrote this grant for the program, and so we were able to launch it. But when I launched it, I was like, okay, here's what I got. And I have to tell you, the response was overwhelmingly positive. And it
overwhelmingly
so
positive or negative? What'd you say?
Yeah,
overwhelmingly
positive.
Positive. Great.
Positive.
Great.
People were, oh my gosh, this is the best. They were using words like, this is transformational for me. This is not only made me a better teacher, this has made me a better human being. It's made me a better spouse. It's made me a better parent. Because all of these things, doing them from our best self, actually makes everything go better. And everything becomes easier. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, when you say from your best self, okay, again, the book is Teach From Your Best Self. What do you mean? What are you referring to? Your best self.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So, you know, in the book I talk about how, you know, as a kid, my home life was often chaotic, right? And so we grew up in 5 acres of forest, just beautiful forest, and I would retreat into the forest. And when I was out in the forest, I could feel myself. Like, I was calm. I was relaxed. I was open. I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go back in the house, and I would be more agitated, more anxious, more like what's going to happen next. And you know, so the inspiration from the book, if you can imagine two parallel horizontal lines, and if you just denote the top one as me being in my best self, so that's when I'm most authentic, when I'm most genuine, when I'm most feeling alive, vital, connected to my sense of purpose. And then the bottom, you know, then below that's the range, right? And so typically human beings were driven by circumstances. You know, something good happens, I'll go to the top of my range. Something I don't want to happen, I'll slip to the bottom. And so, you know, I could become more frustrated. I could become stressed. So one of the things that I write about in that book is the stress response system in our brains and how easy it is for us as educators, under the pressure we're under, to have that get triggered. Mm-hmm. Now, when the stress response system gets triggered, my limbic system perceives a threat, it tips me into fight, flee, or freeze. And when that happens, it literally pulls resources from my neocortex. That's the part of my brain that I need to teach from, that I need to be, you know, creative and strategic and respond to situations. And it turns me into the survival mode, where I become very reactionary, I become impatient, I actually lose access. I kind of get more a limbic and reptilian brain moving person instead of a whole brain-centered person. And so when I'm trying to teach from that place, it's not going to go well. And besides that, it's because stress, these kinds of stress reactions are contagious. You know, we're kind of like deer. If you stumble across a flock, a herd of deer, one of them might hear you and they all bolt, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, one of us falls into a stress reaction, and the next thing you know, that starts like popcorn all over the classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to teach a class, and none of us really have access to our learning brain, which is the worst place for us to be when we're trying to do education. So what I need is I need access to my whole brain. From that point, I have all of my tools, all of my resources, all of the great professional development I've taken, all of the strategies, the techniques, I have access to them, and I can respond to situations and manage them much better than I could if I didn't have access. And Larry, I learned about this, this became really real to me in karate, in martial arts, because if somebody more experienced was coming at me really hard with a lot of kicks and punches, I would tip into a stress reaction and I would just start flailing and I would lose access to whatever karate skills I had. So it didn't matter the training that I had if I didn't have access to it. The most important thing was me staying in that calm, composed, central, clear place. So then I could respond with whatever karate skills I had in a creative way and sort of flow with it. And when I started bringing that to my classroom, everything transformed. You know, my job became easier. That I started feeling like I'm thriving. I'm enjoying my job. I'm enjoying the students. Because I became more or less unflappable, they stopped trying to get my goat. They stopped pushing on, trying to find my buttons, because I didn't have them. Actually, they couldn't access them anymore. And I would just play with them. And we would, you know, the learning increased. They would tell me how much they appreciated the vibe of my class. The reason that I think so many of us get into education to make a difference in young people's lives, that became suddenly available to me at a level that it wasn't before.
That's nice.
So that's the gift I want to offer other educators, and so that's
you're
why I've
that.
Written the book and I'm doing the trainings. Yeah.
That's and you're doing it. I have a question. When you talk to the people in that first institute, 2021, I guess it was, okay?
Yeah.
And how long was that – how long were you with them?
Yeah, so, you know, change takes time.
Of course.
And this is kind of a – this is a – it's a whole different mindset for educating. Because
exactly.
We teach from your best self. We're focused on who the teacher is, like the self we bring, more important than all of the strategies and techniques. And just about any other professional development I've been to – I'm learning new technology, learning new techniques, learning new instructional methods. But this is a different question. This is who are we?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a little bit of time to just kind of prioritize that and start to see when we slip from our best self and then develop all the strategies that I have that I offer people and use them in practice. So I see them for a week in the summer. Like, we took a whole week.
A whole week, that's what I was asking.
Over
the
whole thing. And then, so that it sticks, I meet with them once a month throughout the school year. And those are really powerful because we have this shared language now. We have all of the teach from your best self approaches, but then they can bring stuff like, well, this happened in my class, and how did you handle that? And so we can start to look at how they can start bringing more of teach from your best self into their day-to-day practice. And so by the end of the year, they basically transformed their whole relationship to education and teaching, and they're able to get a lot more done with a lot less output of time, energy, and attention.
And so let me ask you this, and thank you for that answer. Okay, I was curious about that because to be able to devote a week to this is really, really important. And to make somebody say, and they did say to you, that it's transformational, that's very impressive. Oh, you know, because, you know, they've been doing it for a while, which brings me to, they've all been trained to be teachers, but as you well know, Jay, education schools, at least to my knowledge these days, still don't focus. They still don't focus a lot on social emotional learning, which is kind of what we're talking about here. And they certainly don't talk about the psychology, the SEL of for and of being a teacher. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is extremely important. You know, a lot of teachers leave in the first couple of years. They just aren't prepared for it. They're prepared academically, but they're not prepared psychologically for it. And it is tough. You got to do that. Okay. Yeah, I'm just leading. You are an affiliate professor at Southern Oregon. What town is that in? Where is that?
That's in Ashland. So either Medford, Ashland is like 1 minute down the road.
Good, perfect.
So, yeah.
Beautiful place, yeah. Beautiful part of the world, I know, Dad. Okay, and so it's in Ashland, and I'm curious. Are you in the education department, right?
Well, so I've been a classroom teacher. I'm a K-12 high school teacher for the last 24 years. The last 10, I've worked at an alternative school. I'm an affiliate faculty member at SOU. And so that just gives me access to, it's like I'm a friend in a way.
Of course.
At Oregon University. So
and
I get
you're able to give them insight
into
what's going on in
rooms.
The school, which is very important.
Able to help them with their teacher preparation program and so forth.
Exactly,
but
my question.
I'm not actually a professor there. Yes. Actually,
yeah. You're an affiliate professor here. So,
yes.
And I was curious about that. But my point is this, okay, you're working, you know people, you're close to, you're involved with an education school.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In the world of education, K-12, and higher ed, but that's another whole story. K-12, okay, pre-K-12 is really changing. And the way people need to be trained and become professionals, it needs to change as well. All right?
Yeah.
And I was just going to ask you, when you talk to the professors at good old SOU, okay, Southern Oregon University, all right, and you approach them with what you've written here, which is excellent, and it's good, okay, and it's helpful. They get it, but do they incorporate it? I'm just kind of picking on them because you're there, okay? Are they incorporating it at all into the way they're training people to become teachers? It's important.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So most of them haven't gotten a copy of the book yet because it's not deliverable till August 1st. But
I have a copy.
I know exactly. You've got an advanced copy.
Thank you. Send it to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. But
I'm privileged.
Because I've been doing this and they've been seeing the results of the teacher, that's a very loud motorcycle going by. I have, in August, I will be leading the first Teach From Your Best Self program that's designed specifically for student teachers that they're actively promoting and supporting. Yeah, and so I'm really excited to get to work with these very passionate, excited teacher candidates to give them some tools so that they can have a long, fulfilling career.
You know, that's good. You know, we got to start them off right so they're not frustrated and going crazy. And again, it's tough out there.
Yeah.
Okay, and I want them to do well. You said something before, you know, you said that you wanted, now we wanted people to buy the book. Okay. That's obvious, but you also do your professional training. And I'm curious, do you, and during the school year, can you work with a school district? How would you do it during the school year if you need a week? It's hard to, where would you get that kind of time during the week? What are some of the alternatives here?
You know, this is
we are
building this plane. No, we
That's
are building
great.
This plane while we were flying it. And,
right.
And so just a little context. My life for the last 24 years, I've classroom teacher full time. Now the last four, I've been building Teach For Your Best Self, both the professional development and as well as writing the book and then leading these trainings. So my plate has been so full just maintaining what I'm doing. And now that the book's out, for next year I have a different job. So I'll be working for Southern Oregon Educational Service District, and they have a division called Southern Oregon Regional Educator Network, where I'm going to be an implementation coach, kind of a
that's
teacher,
fantastic.
A mentor.
That's from an ed service agency, I assume. Yeah, that's excellent. I love those.
Yes, exactly. And so that's going to give me a lot more freedom. It's where I can figure out and work with other districts or other folks around the country about how I can come and bring Teach From Your Best Self to them. Because, you know, it's during the school year a week, you're right, that's not logistically feasible. But there are some ways that we can work now that I'm more freed up in terms of my time to be able to come and offer support in whatever way I can.
Yeah, and also there's the internet with Zoom meetings and all that sort of stuff. I was just curious how you're going to do that. And you will do it. Believe me, you will do it, okay, because this is very, very important. I'm going to ask you to do something, Jay. Pick out, just give an example of one thing a listener could do, okay, that would help them with classroom management, et cetera, so they get a sense of what's in the book, what they walk away with, so to speak.
I'm going to give you an overview of the book because that'll help create some context for this. There's four sections of the book, and the first section we're laying out sort of the terrain of obstacles the teachers face, and a lot of the obstacles we face are actually misidentified. One of them actually is how our brains work, you know. And so we look into the neuroscience, we look at how teaching and learning happens. And we look at what actually teachers are up against. And so once we have that in place, then part two of the book goes into a lot of the approaches and strategies that I recommend. And it's really important to me that teachers have things that they can do while they're teaching, things that they implement in their classroom. There's a lot of talk right now, and I think this is good, about teacher well-being, but so many of the recommendations are things that teachers would have to do after the school day. And teachers just don't have time often to take that yoga class or to develop that meditation practice. And so I want to give teachers stuff they can do during the school day that will give them that extra energy that then if they do decide to go to that gym or yoga class after the school day, they'll have the energy to do it. Then the third part of the book has to do with specific approaches that teachers can take when they notice they've slipped from their best self, maybe into what I'm calling these stress reaction places, or they're going into a situation where they know, I could slip here. So there are strategies they can do for those hot, challenging moments, you know, those moments that I think we've all felt as teachers where we're standing up in front of a room basically trembling with a red face, trying to figure out how to deal with this terrible disruption that we're facing.
Yeah.
And we're trying to do our best, and yet we feel this enormous pushback from students, or maybe it's an email that just kind of went off like a bomb in our brains as we're reading it. So what to do in those moments. And then the fourth part of the book addresses what we can do to build a more durable best self for the long term. You know, there's approaches, research-backed approaches we can take that will allow us to become just less susceptible to being reactive inside of situations. And so I'm happy to give an idea or an approach from any of those four areas. What do you think your listeners would like to hear?
Oh, I think when you mentioned that, you know, you're standing there red-faced trying to get control of A, yourself, and B, the class. Yeah, okay, what's an easy thing to do? Yeah, I think that's
so
very typical.
So I'll give you something that they offer to Navy SEALs before they go into a firefight, and that's called box breathing. And so, you know, I figure if it's good enough for the Navy SEALs, it's got to be good enough for educators.
Yeah.
There is. We are under fire, not in the same exact way, but there is this under fire experience that we're in. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to exhale all of our breath, and then we're going to inhale to the count of four, and then we hold it for the count of four, we exhale for the count of four, and we hold that for the count of four. So let's just do a cycle together, and I'll count off. And so we're going to exhale all of our breath. And then inhale to the count of four. And I'll tap. Hold. Exhale. Hold. So doing two or three cycles of that can help our limbic system recalibrate and get us back to the nervous system that we need to respond to the situation. And that's helpful. One of the things that's really important when we're faced with tough situations is taking the time to pause. I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but when a situation happens that triggers us, it's often not the situation as much as the story that we tell ourselves about what it means. So, for instance, I have a student who seems to be actively defying my request that they put their phone away. If my story in my head becomes, hey, this student's defying me, disrespecting me, openly, maliciously, then it's going to likely tip me into, I'm going to have an urge to respond to that story, right? And I'm going to respond according to what that story is. And I'm going to probably be reactive, and I'm going to probably come down pretty hard on that student, who then is going to have a story about me. And this is
That's how we
get into power struggles in the classroom. Now, these stories, because of just how our brain works, we do tend to, like, the first story that pops up into our head is going to be the negative one, right? It's just going to be one that's negative because our brain is really good at finding problems. So if I insert the word maybe, as soon as that story comes up, if I give myself just a little bit of time, yeah, maybe he's defying me. Maybe he's actually trying to disrespect me in this moment, but I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that does is that gives me room to stay in my best self and then be curious. And I'll call the student up. We'll have a conversation. I'll say, hey, I just asked you to put your phone away, and I noticed you didn't. I don't know if you didn't hear me or you were just blowing me up. What was going on there? Now, even if you said, yeah, I'm blowing you up, I hate this class, I'm still coming from my best self. I didn't lose it. And so then we can have that conversation.
And you didn't make up something in your head. You asked.
Exactly.
I
got a fact there, and from that fact, then I can respond instead of react. And I think that's really important, because when I'm in my best self, I'm going to be able to respond to what happens with all of my teaching tools, with my whole brain, instead of reacting from a stress place where it's kind of when we get reactive, it kind of takes us to the same place, and it's not a fun place to be. Especially with kids, we get into power struggles, and my day's wrecked, and the kids.
And the interesting thing is this: when we do that, somebody has to be the adult in the room. The teacher has to maintain control. You can't get into a power struggle with a kid. Okay, you're the teacher. You're the adult.
It's that simple.
Go
ahead. I have so much compassion for teachers who do get into these power struggles, because it's literally how our brain is designed. But without this other piece of awareness that I'm offering a teacher and a best self, it's just naturally how we would do it. Does it make sense? It's like teacher and a best self is offering a whole new approach. Yeah.
And I got to say something. So you just said it's just how your brain works. And there's an interesting side to that. My degree, I don't know about yours, but my degree is a BS in education. That's a Bachelor of Science, okay? Mm-hmm. There was no science involved. There was zero, zero, not a science involved. But today, many years later, I might add, we have neuroscience, okay? We know how people should react. We know how people learn, okay? And one of the challenges is most education schools do not teach that. For some reason, they avoid that part of it, okay? And that's where we lack, I believe, in education. One of the things we lack in education school, we don't approach it as a science, okay? And when you kept saying, this is how your brain works, we're rooted in this, this is what we're built for, we got to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
We not only have to know it about the kids, we have to know it about ourselves. But this is the way humans react, and I've got to keep that under control. That's the way wars start. Okay.
Exactly.
Just look at Vladimir Putin. Okay.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's that simple. You've got great ideas here, my friend. The book's going to do well. Okay. And it's time we really take a good look at this. Jay, I wish you the best of luck with the book. It's Teach from Your Best Self. Today's July 26th. It'll be out, available to you. Actually, I saw it on Amazon today. Okay, I have it linked to if you want to purchase it. Teach from Your Best Self by Jay Schroeder. And he's getting more and more involved in the professional development with his Teach from Your Best Self Institute. Again, linked here on site. Jay, have a good Oregon day. Okay?
Hey, thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate getting to be on your show.
I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for all the stuff you've done, okay, in your years of teaching. And, boy, it's going to be fun this year with a whole new gig. You take care.
Yeah, it will. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jay Schroeder, everybody. Again, teach from your best self, and I have it linked here. Okay? It's important these days. We got to take control, all right? And we got to be happy in our job. And if you're doing your best, you're happy in your job. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we do over there. I'm here, Larry, at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.